Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thank you all for joining today's call. I'm Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, the nation's premier civil and human rights coalition. I'm going to be moderating today's press call regarding Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's testimony on the Department of Justice's budget request before the Commerce, Justice, and Science Appropriations subcommittees in both the House and the Senate tomorrow. I'm joined on today's call by civil rights and criminal justice reform experts who are sounding the alarm on the Trump administration's Justice Department budget request, a proposed budget that is a blueprint for continuing the mass criminalization of communities of color and low-income communities and deprioritizing vital civil rights enforcement. Now, while today's call is focused on the Justice Department's proposed budget, we are certainly really concerned that the entire FY 2018 budget request, which proposes to, among other things, reduce funding for important programs like Medicaid and Census, would harm working families and communities of color and undermine basic civil rights in the process. As you all know, the Justice Department's the federal agency that ensures that the rule of law is never abridged, even by other government agencies. It is also one of our most important civil rights enforcement agencies, the Civil Rights Division, which I had the privilege to lead in the prior administration. Under Attorney General Sessions, the Department of Justice has taken numerous actions that undo the progress that we've made in this country to ensure an inclusive and fair America. Attorney General Sessions has taken steps to recharge the failed policies of the war on drugs, policies that everyday people throughout the country and policymakers across the political spectrum have rejected. He has signaled a major retreat from holding police departments accountable and for advancing constitutional policing. He's abandoned long-held position that a Texas photo ID law was adopted with discriminatory intent, and in the backdrop of an election integrity commission that has been proposed by this administration, there are real concerns about the undermining of voting rights in this country. He's rescinded guidances that are aimed at phasing out the use of private prisons, and with the Education Department, guidance to clarify the school district's obligation to provide transgender students an education that is free from discrimination. Children, families, and working people have all benefited from civil rights protections and vigorous enforcement, and yet this Attorney General and this administration have continued to demonstrate through words and deeds an intent to undermine civil rights and fund mass incarceration and over-criminalization. We know our rights are not self-executing. People expect the federal government to perform its central function, which is protecting and ensuring their constitutional and federal rights under federal law. It's irresponsible for the nation's primary defender of the Constitution to abdicate that critical responsibility, and really, in many ways, unconscionable to use the federal government's prosecutorial power to wreak havoc on vulnerable communities through reinvigorating long discredited policies, criminal justice policies of the past. In tomorrow's hearing, Congress must demand that the Deputy Attorney General explain how the department intends to enforce the nation's civil rights laws and explain why this administration is proposing to spend the people's tax dollars on criminalizing more black and brown people. And while we recognize that Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein will be testifying on behalf of the Department of Justice tomorrow, we expect that Attorney General Sessions himself will appear before Congress to explain his department budget priorities. The federal budget isn't just about spending money. It's a statement, really, on what the nation believes we should be investing in. An investment in enforcing civil rights will ensure that every person in this country can live a life that is free from discrimination and with a decent shot at the American dream. So now to talk in more detail about concerns with the department's proposed budget, we have a really dynamite lineup of advocates. Michael Collins, who's the Deputy Director of the Drug Policy Alliance, Kamal Asaheb, who's Director of Policy and Advocacy at the National Immigration Law Center, Jesslyn McCurdy, who is Deputy Director at the ACLU Legislative Office, Kristen Clark, who's President and Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, Janae Nelson, Associate Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. And after hearing from each of our speakers, we'll have a brief question and answer session, and I'll provide instructions for how listeners can answer a question. So let me now just turn it over to our first speaker, Michael Collins from the Drug Policy Alliance. Michael?
Hi there. Thanks, Vinita, for the introduction, and thanks to the Leadership Conference for setting this up. You know, as Vanita indicated, the second budget is very much an escalation of the war on drugs and represents an assault on the civil rights of Americans, especially communities of color. It's a budget that puts law enforcement funding way ahead of treatment, diversion, and public health at a time when there is broad political consensus that drugs should be treated as a public health issue. And so this budget is a major step backwards in terms of dealing with the current opioid crisis. Nearly five decades of the drug war have shown us that funding for law enforcement, increasing funding for law enforcement, fails to reduce neither the supply nor the demand of drugs and only makes drug-related problems worse. And so this DOJ budget is the latest confirmation that Jeff Sessions and this administration generally are engaging in a reckless escalation of the war on drugs, which is fundamentally a losing proposition. It's something that's very unpopular with the public and is a tremendous waste of taxpayer dollars and will serve only to drive up mass incarceration and put at risk the lives of individuals who struggle with addiction. And so I just wanted to take some time to highlight a couple of the budget items that are really concerning from a Drug Policy Alliance point of view. One is a budget item in the Department of Justice budget that would put $2.5 million towards hiring special assistant United States attorneys for the DEA. This is a program that would essentially mean that the Drug Enforcement Administration, for the first time, would be able to hire its own prosecutors, and they would be specifically prosecuting drug cases. It's very alarming. It's an escalation of the war on drugs. It's how Jeff Sessions wants to tackle the opioid epidemic through the prosecution law enforcement only approach. And perhaps more worryingly, they actually take money from a diversion control account, an account that is supposed to be for monitoring prescription drugs, and then use that to fund a team of prosecutors. Drug cases are already prosecuted by U.S. attorneys, and so this is really something where we see there is no need for this, and this is going to do great damage to communities. It's also worth noting that the Drug Enforcement Administration, under the Jeff Sessions budget, already gets a $64 million increase from FY17 levels. And fundamentally, the idea that giving more money to the DEA or other law enforcement agencies to tackle the opioid epidemic at a time where Republicans are pushing to repeal Obamacare, which does so much for drug treatment, that's just a hugely flawed proposition. And last thing I'll note in terms of budget items is that by this administration's own admission, they have $1 billion in Department of Justice savings that come from the reduction in the federal prison population. Now, that didn't happen by accident. That happened as a result of partly Eric Holder's smart on crime policies that reduce the use of mandatory minimums in sentencing. And this is a policy that Jeff Sessions has just reversed through his new guidance. And so next year, or very soon indeed, we'll see any savings disappear. And in fact, the Department of Justice will face more budgetary constraints as they increase the prison population. So this hearing is a great opportunity for members of Congress to ask the Department of Justice important questions about the Attorney General's intentions, especially when it comes to escalating the war on drugs, and we hope that they do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And I'm going to just, I have to go slightly out of order, and I'm going to ask Kristen Clark to speak from the Lawyers Committee, and because she unfortunately needs to step away from a call after she does. So, Kristen, why don't I pass it to you now?
Thank you, Vanita. As Attorney General Sessions remains under a dark cloud of suspicion regarding his connection to Russia, we remain very concerned about unanswered questions concerning Russia's interference with the conduct of our elections. At the same time, these questions can't be a distraction from the important work that the Justice Department should be doing and what it is failing to do under Attorney General Jeff Sessions' leadership. This is most especially true with respect to enforcement of our nation's federal voting rights laws. The Justice Department's historic role in safeguarding access to democracy for Americans remains critical. The Justice Department bears primary enforcement responsibility under the Voting Rights Act. Yet there is no evidence that the Justice Department has brought any new litigation under the Voting Rights Act under Mr. Sessions' leadership. This is the case despite the proliferation of laws suppressing the rights of voters across our country. Under Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the Justice Department recently abandoned its longstanding position that the Texas Voter ID Bill was adopted with a discriminatory purpose. The Justice Department had prosecuted that claim vigorously for 5 years, and most recently, a federal district court found for the second time that the law was adopted with discriminatory intent. We need the Justice Department to enforce federal voting rights laws, and we will not stand by silently as states enact measures that suppress the rights of Americans while the Justice Department does nothing. 6 states this year have adopted laws that restrict the rights to vote. In Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, North Dakota, and Indiana. And this Justice Department has done nothing. We also need to know whether the Pence-Kobach Commission will be funded with taxpayer dollars. And more importantly, will taxpayer dollars be siphoned away from the Justice Department's critical work? We need to know whether this commission will be staffed by Justice Department employees. We need to know whether this commission will distract the Justice Department from its core responsibility to fight voting discrimination and enforce the Voting Rights Act. We urge members of Congress to press Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein tomorrow on whether Justice Department resources will be abused for this fishing expedition. In closing, I observe that this year marks the 60th anniversary of the Civil Rights Division. We will not stand by idly as Jeff Sessions obstructs and undermines the enforcement agenda of this critical law enforcement agency. Despite progress, we know that the Civil Rights Division is needed now more than ever, and proposed budget cuts signal an effort to render anemic the work of this critically important agency. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. Really appreciate it. And now I'd like to ask Kamal to speak from the National Immigration Law Center. Kamal?
Thank you, Vanita, for the introduction, and thank you for having us on this call. As my colleagues at the top of the call have said, this administration continues to blatantly disregard the civil rights of marginalized communities and is instead unjustly targeting immigrants and people of color. This budget is yet another part of this troublesome pattern with policies proposed under this administration that seek to criminalize these communities and put them at greater risk. And this is especially noteworthy because we have all already seen so many examples of the uptick in hatred towards marginalized communities. And so it's critical for our government to underscore the importance of civil rights, particularly for immigrants and communities of color. Jeff Sessions has a long history of pursuing anti-immigrant policies, and those proposed in this new budget are no different. I'll highlight 3 elements of this budget that explicitly touch on immigration issues. One, there's a request for 70 new attorneys in the Department of Justice to prosecute people for immigration-related offenses, like entering the U.S. unlawfully. As background or as context, immigration prosecutions are already compromise the majority of all federal prosecutions. There's a second request for 20 new attorneys to litigate immigration cases in the federal courts. And we know that since day one, this administration has been consistently losing in the courts, most prominently on the Muslim ban, where just minutes ago they were handed another defeat in the Ninth Circuit. This request signals to us that they are planning to take on more anti-immigrant policies, which we and our allies will challenge and need to staff up to defend them. In addition to these budgetary items, there's language meant to punish cities like D.C., New York, and San Francisco that have community policing ordinances that decouple immigration enforcement from policing. And again, this is coming at the heels. This request from Congress to enact this new law is coming at the heels of a stinging ruling from a federal court judge that essentially found these cities to be in compliance with the law. Beyond these policies, the rhetoric being employed by Sessions and others in this administration is dangerous by using terms such as criminal aliens, describing cities with community policing policies as filth, and financing mass incarceration. We're undermining a huge and diverse population. And this rhetoric is emboldening states like Tennessee, which just Friday signed SB 1260 into law, which a law that creates an enhanced sentence for undocumented immigrants. This is all making it incredibly difficult for immigrants to thrive in American society. Overall, this budget seeks to bolster agencies with a long history of civil rights violations, mismanagement, and you know, for lack of a better term, shady practices, while at the same time eliminating internal checks and civil rights protections. It's a perfect recipe for rampant abuse perpetrated against immigrants and communities of color. So we know where Jeff Sessions and Donald Trump are, and the ball is now in Congress's court. We expect Congress to ask Deputy AG Rosenstein the hard questions about why DOJ is prioritizing incarceration, about why the DOJ is deprioritizing civil rights enforcement. Rubber stamping this budget will, in our eyes, make Congress complicit in the Trump Sessions agenda.
Thank you, Kamal. And now I'd like to ask Jesslyn McCurdy to speak of the American Civil Liberties Union. Jesslyn?
Thank you, Vanita. I'm pleased to be on the call today. I just want to talk a little bit about, Sessions' first proclamation 2 weeks after he was confirmed as the Attorney General. And one of the first things that he did was to rescind the private prisons memo that was issued by former Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates. And this is important because it's a clear connection to what Kamal just talked about in terms of the ramping up of immigration prosecutions, because traditionally people who are undocumented who have committed crimes are held in private prisons on the federal level. And so for that to be one of Attorney General Sessions' first policy decisions out after his confirmation, I think sends a broad and very troubling signal about the direction of this administration and this particularly this Department of Justice. Even more so troubling after the recent Inspector General's report that was released in 2016 that called for the Bureau of Prisons to do more monitoring and more oversight over the private prisons that they were contracting with based on many incidents that have happened over the past 8 years, one of which at the Willacy facility resulted in that facility being closed down, for then this administration to turn around, rescind that guidance, rescind that memo, and then call for the use of private prisons is very troubling. And again, this fits into the larger narrative about the retrenchment or the reversal on civil rights because of the conditions that have been documented for years in private prisons that are not safe for people who are held in those prisons. And again, that is just very troubling. And then finally, to look at the reinvigoration of the use of private prisons, and then to look at in the budget what the Department of Justice is proposing in terms of Bureau of Prison facilities, and basically what they're planning to eliminate almost 2,000 prison guard positions and 6,000 administrative staff positions. And we already have a overcrowding problem in the Bureau of Prisons, where we're down to 14% overcrowding, but we were as high as almost 40% a few years ago before many of the policies that the former Attorney General Holder had put in place to reduce the prison population. But now we're heading back in that direction, and that creates unsafe conditions for people that are held in those facilities, but also the guards that are tasked with overseeing the custody of people in those facilities. So this administration, this Department of Justice, just is heading in the wrong direction on all levels around incarceration, and one of the primary examples of that is this reinvigoration of the use of private prisons.
Thanks a lot, Jocelyn. And now, last but certainly not least, is Janae Nelson from the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Janae?
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank Vanita and her colleagues at the Leadership Conference for organizing this briefing. This administration has made clear that it poses a unique threat to civil rights and the rule of law in the United States. But perhaps no part of this administration has been as hostile to equal justice under law as the Department of Justice. And that hostility can be directly attributed to the worldview of Jeff Sessions. Before his confirmation hearings, the Legal Defense Fund published an exhaustive report laying out his disturbing civil rights record as a federal prosecutor, state attorney general, and U.S. senator. And unfortunately, since assuming office just 123 days ago, he has charted a disturbing course for the Justice Department, and the administration's proposed budget shows no signs of deviating from that path. So the previous participants have already laid out the troubling rescission of the Smart on Crime policy that helped to create a racially disproportionate and discriminatory mass incarceration system, the backing away from the supportive policing reform in places like Baltimore, and the failed attempt, thankfully, to delay the implementation of a finalized consent decree, and the reversal of a position in the Texas photo ID case that LDF is litigating along with some of the groups on this call, where two decisions confirming that law's intentional discrimination have been issued by federal courts. So I just want to highlight, in addition to those concerns, a few items in the budget specifically that LDF finds especially troubling. First is the $538 million cut to the Office of Justice Programs. That is a 29.3% reduction in its budget from the current fiscal year. And the cuts to OJP include reductions in spending on body-worn cameras for state and local police departments, cuts to school safety initiatives, cuts to drug courts, cuts to reentry programs, and cuts to youth mentoring efforts. We're also deeply disturbed by the request for an additional $150 million to fund the Bureau of Prisons budget, which you've already heard about. But in the budget's own words, that increase includes $10 million for expected population growth to address the results of the emphasis on prosecuting violent criminals and getting them off America's streets and into facilities, close quote. This leaves no doubt that the Department of Justice knows exactly what will come from its decision to return to the outdated war on drugs, policies that do nothing to improve public safety while widening racial inequities and increasing the prison population. Finally, it's worth noting that although the budget calls for a token increase of $168,000 in the Civil Rights Division's budget, it also calls for the reduction of 121 employees, including 14 attorneys. What's more, the budget says that in fiscal year 2018, the division will prioritize enforcement of the Immigration and Nationality Act to ensure that companies do not discriminate against U.S. workers in favor of foreign visa holders. That statement shows that the division is being turned into charging and enforcing civil rights laws that contribute to the fear around this administration's unconstitutional approach to immigration policy. It's an abandonment of civil rights laws and, and effectively becoming an enforcer of immigration policy. This impression is only deepened by the budget's requested $144.9 million increase to enforce the Border Security and Immigration Enforcement Improvements Executive Order and to keep pace with DHS's increased immigration enforcement. I could go on and on, but the bottom line is this. Budgets reflect priorities, and this budget makes clear that enforcing our nation's civil rights laws, addressing the inequities that plague our criminal justice system, and protecting our nation's most vulnerable citizens are not priorities for this Department of Justice. At LDF, we are determined to keep working with our partners to hold the DOJ accountable and to keep upholding the civil rights of all Americans. But ultimately, it is up to the American people and their representatives in Congress to demand that this Department of Justice, which so often speaks of law and order, willingly enforces all the laws, including the civil rights laws and constitutional protections that define this country. Tomorrow, the Appropriations Subcommittee should rigorously question Deputy AG Rosenstein to ensure that he understands these ideals and will uphold them. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danae. And so now we're going to open the call to speakers, and I think the operator is going to be able to provide instructions for how participants can ask questions.
If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star and one keys on your touch-tone telephone. That is star one on your touch-tone telephone now. One moment while we queue for questions. And once again, press star one if you'd like to ask a question. One moment, please. We'll take our first question from Barrington Salmon of The Final Call. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, good morning. Good afternoon. Thanks for having this briefing. I was wondering what type of mechanisms you as a group and individually have to force the Sessions and the DOJ to fulfill the obligations of the department as it relates to civil rights and issues like that.
Thanks for your question. Janae, I don't know, do you want to take that question?
Sure. You know, we have worked with the Department of Justice over decades, sometimes more as an ally than others. Clearly, at this point in time, this Department of Justice is not working in concert with civil rights groups to advance civil rights and constitutional protections. And when we find ourselves in those positions, we, you know, are oftentimes put in an adversarial posture. And if we need to hold their feet to the fire and call upon them to enforce laws, to hold, you know, shadow hearings on issues, to give them light, to call out their reversal of positions in the tribunals in which they occur, before judges, before courts, to prevent them from reversing course, then we will do so. And so far, we've been quite vigilant in showing in limiting their effect in some of the matters where they previously held positions that we agreed with and now have changed, and are also shining a light on any hypocrisy that we see to deter them from continuing to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. One moment while we queue. And it appears that we have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining the call. And I'm going to bring the call to a close. And I want to thank all of you and our speakers for being on the call today. Thank you.
Thank you.
This does conclude today's National Civil Rights Group's call for Justice Department to prioritize civil rights enforcement. You may now disconnect your lines, and everyone, have a great day.